Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you today. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 years from now, but today. So you have that cash flow, that freedom, that life that you love right now, and be able to spend it with those that you love while you're still young, while you still have life left in you. But it's not just about your own comfort and convenience, right? It's all about you creating a ripple effect and blessing more people's lives as you prosper too. Not just after you prosper, but along the way. And you, as you create that ripple effect, you're able to create more blessings. You're able to create a legacy, both inside your family and outside as well. And I'm excited to be a part of this with you guys, be a part of this movement. I appreciate you guys so much. Be able to binge on these shows. You're listening. You're sharing this with other people. Thank you so much for making this impact great, because I love watching more and more of you exponentially are tuning in and listening. And even better, you're applying the things that we teach you on this show. And I love it, guys. This is so cool. So thank you so much. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's other blogs and things like that on there too. You can check out for more information. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. You know, the website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it is they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy up people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites, fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today I want to talk about the power to see. That's what I'm going to title this podcast today, is the power to see. Because, you know, I was talking with one of my clients recently, and as we're out to dinner, we were talking about the early days, right? I guess if you call it that. Back in like 2006, you know, when I made that transition, when I was going to quit being a financial advisor and I started learning new things, and people always ask, Chris, how did you do it? Like, how were you able to retire the first time? Especially because they say, Chris, you said you did it with like a few thousand dollars. Like, how is that even possible? And especially with a lot of things I talk about on the show, when I bring up different investments and things like that, a lot of these alternative investments, you've got to have cash to create real cash flow, right? And so they wanted to know how it came to be. And so I started telling them a lot of the details and kind of going into the story more. And they say, man, like, this is the stuff that we don't get, because you kind of see it. Like you see things so differently than we do. Like, we don't see those kind of opportunities right there. You know, and this kind of goes along with what I talked about a few weeks back, that whole acres of diamonds, right? You know, not being able to know what's beneath your own feet. So I want to take you back. I want to take you to my own learning, that journey, and just take you from there. So some of you may have heard the story before or not, but it was the end of 2005. I was actually on the phone with my friend Doug. Now, Doug, I had hired to be a financial advisor, but he had quit earlier that year of 2005. He quit to go do real estate investing with his dad. Now, I thought for sure, I thought, oh, I've heard this story before. You're going to go out and try to make it rich, and then you're going to flop, and that's that. And so I thought, sure, whatever, go do your real estate thing. You'll come back, you know, crawling. So it was after Christmas of 2005, right before New Year's, that Christmas break. And I thought, I'm going to give him a call and just see how he's doing. And maybe I can bring him back in as a financial advisor. Now, remember, I had started already have some doubts about the whole financial advising that I had been doing, but I thought I had found some ways around it, right? Like, I found some things that were less, you know, gambling. I stopped selling mutual funds that year in 2005. I dropped my securities license and I said, you know what? I'm not going to teach that stuff, but I'm going to teach more about fixed type of things. It's still in the realm of the traditional financial planning. Well, you know, I get him on the phone and he says, I asked like, hey, how's life? He's like, life is awesome. Like, remember we're doing real estate? Like, my dad right now, he's already doubled his income from what he's making as a professor at the local university. And of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, bull, that's too good to be true, right? And he's like, no, I'm serious. Like, it's been amazing. And so then I start kind of having this ego, you know, chest beating going on, right? It's like, well, what's better, stocks or real estate? So we're going back and forth and all this stuff. And finally he stops and he says, Chris, what principles are you teaching your clients? I said, well, what do you mean by principles? And by the way, if you guys want to know what those principles were, go back to some of the earliest episodes. I mean, I talk about some of these throughout, but some of the earliest episodes, I go a lot more in depth. And I will go actually in depth on some of these in the future episodes here coming up here pretty soon. But I was like, what do you mean by principles? You mean like Rule 72, compound interest? He said, no, Chris, not even close. All right, Chris, how about this? We'll make it easy for you. How many of your clients are financially free with the investments you've set them up in? I thought, none. Because even the ones that have lots of money are still worried about it. They're not free, right? He said, well, good job, Chris. Way to go. All right, Chris, how about this? If anybody has this figured out, it's you guys as financial advisors. So how many of you guys are financially free, not based on the commissions of selling this stuff that hasn't worked for your clients, but actually financially free from doing the investments yourself? And I thought, I'm like, none? Maybe there's this one guy, because he seems like he's kind of got it together. I found out later, that guy didn't either. And he said, there's your problem, Chris. And I said, all right, well, give me the answer. He's like, I will not give you the answer. I said, give me the freaking answer. I need to know. He's like, all right, I don't think you're serious. So he starts pulling it away, right? He's like, I really don't think you're serious. You're not gonna do this because you think you're right. But if you actually are serious, go check out this radio show. It was on AM radio locally here in Utah. It says, check out this show called the Free Capitalist Radio Show, right? It's like, there's these two guys on there. They're both real estate investors and business owners. Listen to their show. And then secondly, get the book by Robert Kiyosaki called Who Took My Money, which is a lesser known book by Kiyosaki. Most people know his Rich Dad Poor Dad book or Cashflow Quadrant, but very few people know about the book Who Took My Money, which actually talks about why mutual funds stink. So I went and got the audiobook, listened to it, the 3 hours. It was a very short read, quote unquote, or listen. You know, I got through it in a day and I said, all right, I can see the stuff. I'd already stopped selling mutual funds. I can see the weaknesses and there's some good points that Kiyosaki brings up. Got it. And I'm like, okay, well, this radio show, I had to wait a few days because they were off on Christmas break. I had to wait till after the new year. They started doing this show and all they're teaching are these principles. They weren't even teaching strategies, guys. Like, you guys are getting way more strategy wise on this show than these guys ever gave. They were just all focused on like talking about capitalism and how capitalism, true capitalism, like the way it was initially created to be, especially around the founding of this country, talking about how capitalism created prosperity for the country and what those true principles were that creates prosperity even now, that these principles never change, they never end. And so I started really getting into that. And here's the crazy thing, guys, is that there was even books they recommended that I had read before but didn't quite internalize. So I'm going to talk about a few of these books. Some of these you probably know about. So first one, and this is books that I actually read as financial advisor. So I'm starting with the ones I started already reading, but now I put it into a different light where they start talking about abundance versus scarcity thinking, right? And I talk about a lot about stewardship, some similar stuff there too. But these books didn't make sense until I understood about abundance, like true abundance and prosperity and stewardship and things like that. That's when these things started to really click, that there were real principles here, right? And because I was always looking for the strategy, like how to figure out the strategy. So first book, Think and Grow Rich, right? Now, for those of you watching the video, you're seeing the books that I'm holding them up. Those of you on audio, you can't see what I'm doing here. But Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is a classic, right? It's obviously a good one. But you know, I read this a couple times and it never quite clicked until I started listening to these guys on their radio show. The follow-up book they actually did recommend I read afterwards in 2006 is, I think, in some ways a better book, but you do need to read Think and Grow Rich first. This is a book also by Napoleon Hill called The Master Key to Riches. This one actually follows up about 20 years later after Think and Grow Rich. And so it's kind of like the sequel. Really good stuff in this book as well. And a lot of the things that I was hearing them talk about on this show, even though amazingly for a 2-hour show for 5 days a week, it's amazing how they They never talked about investing. You know, very, very little was even hinted towards investing, right? But they did talk about money, and they talked about, you know, mindsets and things like that. So this book was really good. So The Master Key to Riches is a great one. Another one, I just mentioned it, of course, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? If you are just starting out and this all is all new to you and you're just starting this journey, you've got to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, this is a book that, you know, even I read as a financial advisor, and somehow in my brain, we were all convincing ourselves in that office that we were teaching the things that Kiyosaki teaches, primarily because we were building a business inside of our financial firm. But that's not true. What we were teaching, we were kind of the enemy in this book, funny enough. But this is a great read, great way to expand your mindset. And this is also a good read for if you've got family or friends that really don't understand this and you need like an entry level thing for them to get into, this could be a great start for them. All right, next one. This is actually the very first personal development book I ever read, at least as an entrepreneur. So this was from 18 years ago, back in 2002, as I started as a financial advisor. This was one of the first recommended books. Rich Dad Poor Dad was one of them, but the one I read before that was this, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This one, I'll tell you, like when it comes to, I think creating prosperity in all areas of life, it's not just about how to become popular, right? But it's really that it's through your relationships that prosperity is created. It's that exchange that creates wealth with other people. And how you are able to develop connections with people is essential. And so this book I've read several times, even lately, even the last few years, I've reread this book again, just because there's so many good principles. So How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is great. Here's a great one. This one is humongous, all right? For those of you on the video, you can see how thick this book is. I've got a relatively okay size head, but this one is thick. This thing is like, what is it? 1,000, well, depending on which, it's over 1,000 pages, right? It's over 1,000 pages called Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Atlas Shrugged. This one, I never heard of until I listened to these guys on the radio, but these guys swore by it. They even said that next to the Bible, Ronald Reagan actually said this was his favorite book, you know, after the Bible, of course. This book was absolutely life-changing for me in my perspective around money, around politics, around capitalism, and what real capitalism is versus socialism and things like that. Great story. I don't agree with all the author's intents, you know, and some of the things that she does in here, but when you look at some of the basic, some of the popular chapters like Francisco's money speech, when he starts talking to all the rich people who are shameful about their own wealth and talking about what is the root of, you know, if money is the root of all evil, what's the root of money? It has an amazing talk in there. John Galt, towards the end, you hear a speech from him that's awesome. I will tell you this, I could not read this entire book. I got to about page 150, 200, and I gave up. I went and bought the audiobook, and I got the abridged version. Because if you get the full-length version of this book, it's like 55, 56 hours long. The quote-unquote abridged version, the shortened version, is only 11 hours long on audiobook. And so anyways, I recommend definitely if you're not that big of a reader, if you're an amazing speed reader, you might like it. You might like the actual book. But for me, I needed the audiobook. Again, like I don't agree with all the things that she tries to, her agendas that she puts in this book, but there are some amazing principles. And consider this woman during the Great Depression moved here to the U.S. from Russia, right? As Russia was changing, the Soviet Union was changing to communism. She was actually actively speaking out against that. So very interesting stuff. And then the last book I'll share with you is a book by Norman Vincent Peale. It's called Positive Imaging. This book, very short, this is the opposite of Atlas Shrugged. This is maybe 180 pages long, right? And I highlighted the heck out of this book too. This book is so amazing. When you hear me talk about seeing things in your mind and creating it in your head first and expecting things, this book really kind of details that out. Amazing book. Read this again in 2006. This is what sort of shifted my perspective of seeing, hey, like I can create a new life here, right? So these are kind of like my intro level, entry level books. There's so many more books I could recommend, but I try to keep it to, you know, what was that, six books. So there you go. You're welcome. I kept it limited here, but these are all great books. Some of my favorites. If you're looking at some of my top 10 list, these are pretty much on them. you know, what you're seeing, right? What I just introduced to you here are all my top 10 book list. So, anyways, I want to talk about this, the power to see, because as I started to read these books, as I started to get entrenched in this, and I know a lot of you I've talked to where you feel like you're having a hard time making the rubber hit the road, right? And I was there, guys. I was there. Just to give you an idea, as a financial advisor, I was not humongously charismatic. I was not very successful at all. I mean, on a good month, I might have made as a financial advisor $2,000, $3,000 a month. I mean, on a good month. Now, I had a young family. I only had 1.5 kids when I quit. So I was living pretty cheap, living in a very, very inexpensive home, a very inexpensive Rambler that was a fixing, you know, kind of a fixer-upper that we had to take care of. Had to add a little extra bedroom to it, you know, with sweat equity, my own sweat equity, as well as a friend's, you know. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you that I never, even after 4 years of being a financial advisor, I could not get these things to work. It never quite gelled together. I couldn't figure out why everything wasn't working. And I'll tell you, the key was, is that I was living in a world of scarcity. I was in a world of scarcity. It was either this or that, an either or world, not of how can I have this and this, a world of abundance, right? You know, I was looking at things. I'll tell you, I did goals. I did, you know, speaking out loud, my vision. I had vision statements and mission statements and goals that were pages long that I'd read out loud with passion, right? Just like the successful people would do, and none of it would work. Partly because it wasn't my own, right? I was doing all these things, they weren't working. When I started to study this, and I started to understand there were true principles here, right? Things at play that always work. You've heard me say one of these principles a lot. For example, dollars follow value created, right? You know, how can you create value in a way for people, solve problems, serve people in such a way that they want to exchange dollars to receive that? Because to them, those dollars are worth less than whatever you're giving them. And when all of a sudden it got to the point of, well, how deep can I make that value? Or how wide can I make that value? How many people can I reach? Or how deep can I go with that value to help other people and serve them and solve problems for them? And so I switched my mindset. Rather than just saying, asking myself, how can I make more money? I stopped that. Because how do I make more money? It's just the effect. It's not the cause. So instead, I started asking, how can I create more value for more people? Or in other words, how can I create a win-win for people? How can I give them what they want? And as Jim Rohn says, you give enough people what they want, you'll get what you want as well. That's exactly what I did. It just finally made sense. You know, because as a financial advisor, I thought it was an either or world. It was a world of a zero sum game, right? Where there's a winner and a loser. You can't have two winners. You won't have two losers. If someone's going to win, that means the other person has to lose. And which, by the way, in most of America today and across the world, they believe this to be true. They believe that if someone else is prospering, you suffer. They're taking out away from you. There's even a survey I read recently. I'm going to do a podcast on it, where they found out that most of the most prosperous nations, in fact, are the ones that actually have the most disdain for modern day capitalism. They actually have the most disdain for big businesses and corporations. In fact, they actually believe that they're taking away from people, and that the rich are getting richer and the poor and the middle class are staying the same or getting poorer. And there's some truth to that, but it's not the cause and effect they think it is, right? When I started to look at things like, wait, there's a formula here. You know, how can I help people get what they want? Well, then this is what naturally happened. And so that power to see has to start first in having that abundance perspective to realize there is possibility, that things are possible, that it might be beyond what you imagine to be true, right? You have to stretch your imagination. You have to stretch what you thought was possible before, and maybe realize that it's possible you may not know everything. I know it's a shocker. None of us happen to know everything. It's weird. I get it. But you don't know everything. And you don't see everything. You don't see. When you say, I've tried everything. No, you haven't. I guarantee you haven't tried everything. You just tried everything you think you've done. But if you really get to it, you might have tried a couple things, right? You might have tried a few things that didn't work for you, and now you're giving up. But the truth is, you just haven't tried the right things, or you haven't tried the right things with the right perspective. So let me tell you what happened. So March of 06, I quit being a financial advisor. I said, I'm done, never again. I was still, you know, listening to these guys on the radio. By April, I realized I got to stop listening. I got to start doing it. I have to know what these guys know. Now, at this time, my active streams of income, I was still stock coaching. I was actually teaching people how to trade their own stocks and options, not actually trading in, you know, mutual funds, right? But actually doing their own trading online. And then I was also being a mortgage broker. I went more into that space. Now in April, I decided to seek out some of these guys or one of their partners. And I said, hey, I want to meet with you guys. I want to know what you know. And as I met with them, of course, they reinforced all the principles and everything else. And, you know, and it was kind of fun. I actually made a really great connection right off the bat. We really hit it off. And then when that first meeting, I remember him asking me, he said, Chris, if money were no longer an issue in your life, what would you do with your time? I said, well, I'd travel more probably. I'd spend more time with family and travel. He's like, okay, Chris, that good job. But what would you do the other 45 weeks out of the year? I said, well, I don't know. Like, I think I might teach ballroom dancing. I think I would love to do that because I really enjoy doing that. And I was even doing it in that moment. Not in that moment, like right there with him, like, hey, I'm going to show you how to shake your hips. I was not doing that with this guy. Okay. I don't do that. So no, I was doing that at a local college, right? Local university there. But anyways, he said, okay, well, you're doing mortgages right now. Do you like doing mortgages? And I said, well, I like teaching people. I like strategizing and getting them the plan, but I don't like doing all the paperwork on the back end. He said, Chris, why don't you consider splitting that with somebody else? And in a scarcity world, remember when I was a financial advisor, I was licensed to do life and health insurance. I was licensed to do mortgages. I was licensed to sell mutual funds up to a certain point. I even did debt plans, right? I did everything I could possibly do, and I was the do-it-yourselfer. For him to say, Chris, why don't you refer that part you hate to someone else that actually does like doing it? It never dawned on me, one, that someone would actually enjoy doing paperwork, and then two, that I could actually share and split it. He's like, yeah, just maybe ask him, see if you could split it 50-50. Now, in scarcity world, I'd say, no, I'm not splitting 50-50. I'll just keep it all myself. I'll do it all myself, even if I hate it. Well, instead, I'd like, I'll consider doing that. So I hung my mortgage license with another broker, found the guy that actually could do it. It was great, very good guy, served his clients really well. He was just a quiet, introverted guy that was perfect at this kind of role. So I said, hey, if I send them to you, you know, pretty much they're ready to do it. I tell you what kind of mortgage to do. You just got to help them do it, you know, do the application, everything. Would you pay me 50%? And of course he said, yes, because I'm doing some of the work. I'm creating value for him, right? Well, that's what would happen. Now I was creating value for the client because they were getting good service really well. Also, he actually enjoyed doing this stuff where I didn't enjoy doing the full process, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, the cool thing is a month or a month and a half later, I would have a check come in the mail for $1,000 or $1,500 for the person closing on the mortgage. And I thought, well, that was dang easy for a half hour to an hour of, you know, helping them strategize and teach them about how to use their mortgage to even pay, get their mortgage to pay for itself by investing it and whatever else, right? Some of the similar things I'm doing today. I'm just not mortgage licensed anymore. But you know, that's what I did. And I was like, this is so easy. Could I do that with someone else? And so I started doing that at that time. I did it with life insurance because there's a guy that I knew that was doing whole life. I didn't understand whole life at that time. I was telling people never to buy whole life, you know, and now I'm saying, hey, whole life is pretty awesome. And that guy, the way the guy was doing it wasn't even that great, you know, but I was like, hey, go talk to this guy. And so I split a deal. Again, I was licensed in both those things. So I could, I even like sent to a wholesale jeweler that paid 5%. I was here locally in Salt Lake City. When I bought my rings from, I said, hey, this is a great company. If you're going to buy your engagement or wedding rings, go here. You'll save so much more money. So here's the cool thing, guys. Like, and I did that with another company too. So I had like four or five different companies paying me for these occasional referrals. I wasn't even advertising. It was just people in conversation, we'd be talking. I'd say, hey, go talk to so-and-so. This would be a good person to talk to. And they would do it. And it would create these other regular streams of income that total about $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Now, guys, all I needed was about $4,000 a month to live on. I was out of the rat race. Now, I used to feel a little bit ashamed by this because, you know, I often talk. And then, of course, I love having part of my portfolio now, especially, and it was even then too, eventually, starting to bring in things like real estate and other types of passive streams of income. But understand that I was only working maybe 3, maybe 4 hours a week. I was literally doing like the 4-hour work week with this, right? But with these multiple streams of income, these were residual streams, I was making about $4,000 or $5,000 a month just purely off of organic conversations, not even trying to market myself. In fact, I was scared. I didn't want to market to anybody. I was still anti being a financial advisor, right? I wasn't the anti-financial advisor yet. I was anti being a financial advisor. So I didn't want to go back there. But people still ask me questions from time to time. So I would make connections. You know, there are still people that, you know, and again, I wouldn't do all that back end work. You know, I would just, you know, point them the right way. All purely what now people would call affiliate marketing. So guys, like, what would happen there? And even today, I still have some of those things in place. Hey, this show, you're hearing ads, right? That's because somebody pays me to be on this show. You know, we record the ad and boom, it's on there and I'm making, you know, money every month just from that passive or residual. I call residual more business income when it's coming in after you do some work up front and then it keeps paying you. It's just like when I have, you know, online products and things like that too, that keep paying, you know, those kind of things. Now, passive income, I look at as more like my investment income, where that money is paying me passively and doing that. And of course, I've already talked about going through the recession and everything else and how I was able to turn around and retire twice, right? Where 2016 was able to do it again, but this time with a much more broad, almost diversified streams of income. I think in the episode I did last fall, I think it was right 14 or 15. I actually have more now, but it was about 15, maybe 16 streams of income now currently. So even if some of them shut off or turn on or whatever, there's always income coming in. And that, guys, is the cool thing. That didn't happen just because, you know, I'm brilliant. I mean, sure, I'm smarter than the average bear, I'd like to think, right? But no, it's all about what you can see, what's possible. And again, I was just focused on that principle. How do I create value for more people? Because dollars follow value. It just naturally led that way. You don't have to do it the way I do. In fact, I would recommend you find your own way of doing it, because you probably have resources and assets that you're sitting on right now, whether it's internal, like gifts that you have, talents that you have, connections like I've had, right? It could be assets, even like money that you have that you're not putting into use to create actual regular income, cash flow every month. Guys, you all have this. You all have it within you. It's just a matter of, can you see it? It's all about what you see. And I'll tell you, the reason that I get hired by you guys is because you guys say, hey, Chris, what do you see, right? Especially with a financial situation in the picture. Like, I just see things like, cool, there's money here, here, and here. Now let's put it to use. Here's how you can put it to use and make returns here, here, or here. And the hardest part is the fact that you'll actually realize that you went from maybe thinking you had no options or maybe one option to realizing you have several options. And then we got to narrow it down. Or just know that, hey, even if plan A doesn't work, plan B is right behind it, you know? And that's the fun thing, guys. Like, I love doing that. And that's why I'm doing what I do today. And so, guys, the best thing you can do, if you want to be able to see more and create more, is you actually got to, you do have to act. But understand you also have to learn. Now, you have to learn up to a point and then act on it. My favorite way of taking books like these is taking a principle out of them and saying, cool, that's a good principle. Stop reading for today. I'm going to focus on that one principle and acting on it this today. How can I put this to use for this today or this week? How can I act on this? The best way I've ever applied books is just doing that. In fact, I don't always read books quickly. It takes me a long time to read a book compared to most people, but I'm actively applying it and practicing it, and that's where the results happen. So guys, I want you all to prosper. Unlike the scarcity mongers out there that think that, you know, there's only so many resources out there to share, I know differently. I know the reality is that there's more than enough resources and to spare. In fact, the more that all of us prosper together, the more all of us prosper, and the more the people around us prosper too. The best thing we can do for society is to become prosperity-minded, to become abundant-minded, and to be able to see opportunities that others don't see. Understand, I'm looking forward to the recession because why? Because when people start panicking, that's when you make the most money. When people freak out, that's when you want to run the direction that people are, you want to run towards the action versus away from it. And that's what you're going to see happen in the next few years. And there's opportunities everywhere. Your ability to see will determine your ability to create more and more wealth. So guys, I'm going to leave you with that. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you all later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.